Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. It's a beautiful day, man. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Did you know we got NFL draft? We got NBA playoffs. We got a lot of stuff to do. Plus, I'm not going to be talking about it, even though I was mad yesterday. They only scored 7 runs instead of 8. The baseball action. But, you know, there's some day baseball on today. Like, it's wall-to-wall ball. 12:05 in 2 minutes. You have the Braves and the Nationals, and I have no idea what to touch in that thing. And the Brewers and the Tigers, that goes at 12:10, 1:20, you got the Phillies and the Cubs, and at 2:10, the Padres and the Rockies. Heck, we got day baseball all day. The Dodgers and the Giants, Tony V's going to get a taste of that, and he's not going to like the way it tastes. I don't care if Logan Webb's on the bump tonight. I love it, 2:45, the Dodgers, they're just better. And Glasnow's been pitching better than Logan Webb, which is wild to me. Tony V, this ain't Tennessee. Ain't no place like Tennessee. Tony V wishes he was out of San Francisco where you can step in poopy. He wants to go back to Tennessee. Now, Mo Schefter, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, here we go. Lil' Mo up in this house. I was, pretty excited when I got up today, and I knew I had day baseball to bet on, NBA basketball to gamble on, NFL draft. I haven't got to where I gambled on it. Do you gamble on NFL draft?
Man, I only watch the draft.
I watch the draft too. Like the people who are like have all these odds out. Like some of them look easy, but you never know what these crazy ass GMs going to do.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't gamble on nothing like that.
So I'm going to watch the hell out of it. I'm going to get a little work in today, doing a little wiring action, you know. And when I think of work, you know what I think, don't you?
Which thing?
I think Mercedes-Benz Van Center. They got serious vans for serious workers, bro. 4430 American Way right here in Memphis, the Mid-South source for cargo, passenger, crew vans, custom chassis. You need a van, you need a fleet of vans, you need a used one, a new one, a long one, a little one, whatever type of van you need. They got you. Plus, they have fleet solution, custom lifts. They can customize your van any way you want it. They always have certified techs there to keep you moving with fast maintenance repairs. The largest parts inventory in the Mid-South. Mercedes-Benz Van Center is your Sprinter Vans headquarters. You can call them at 901-237-9302. That's 901-237-9302. Or go to SprinterVans.com. Mercedes-Benz Van Center. You know they're part of the Tag Truck Center family. Driven to keep you on the road, baby. My man Mo Schefter's on the road all the damn time, bro. You know that?
He don't drive one in from Tag Truck, but he's on the road all the time.
He rode all the time. Mo, what part of the country do you hail from this beautiful Thursday, NFL Draft Thursday?
Yeah, so home base from now on is no longer the Appalachian Mountains of Pennsylvania. It is the Southwest region of Florida, and that is where I am, my brother.
Dude, you know what? You're going to have some of the best stories, bro, because I feel like almost every Dateline started in Florida. Every story about an alligator biting somebody and eating their pet. Every crazy person on crystal meth, you know?
People that snort bath salts and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, dude, and eat faces, man. You're going to have fun. I love Florida. It's my spot, dog.
I'm a fan of Florida. I lived here prior to the pandemic.
Dude, I love the fact they didn't even shut nothing down there. Like, come to Florida. It's beautiful.
South Florida was shut down. Like, Miami, like Dade County, Broward, and Palm Beach, when COVID hit, it got almost as bad as New York was at that
time.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I got sick of Memphis and they weren't opening anything up in here and I was bored and tired of drinking, well, I went out and drank in Florida.
You know what's funny about COVID, Johnny? It messed up the entire timeline. Like, I almost feel like there's a, you know how we always used to say BC and AD? I almost feel now like
pre-vid, post-vid.
Yeah, yes.
I'm yes, actually 100%. With you. The things I used to do before the vid, like I actually would have probably, I don't know, I think I would, I don't know if I would have quit by now. But, you know, I worked for the University of Memphis, and the whole Jeffrey Tobin, when he pulled out his thing on the Zoom call on CNN and just went to town, I was thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, like I got ADHD. I'm great in front of a group of people. I can go and do things. I can get on a stage. I can MC an event. But damn it, at my house, I'm a wreck. Ask Jay. I can't ever get out the door, but it takes me, what, four times to go in and out every day? I forget my phone, my wallet, my keys. I forget my drink. Then I forget, oh, where's my lighter? Then I go back in. It's like the house is always a mystery to me. Like, I don't think I could work from home like some people do. I wouldn't get anything done. There's too many things there to do. Heck, Chaz might end up being a mother. I'd probably knock her up.
Yeah, I'm with you. Working from home is challenging. Plus, I can be very antisocial, as most people near me who are around me can know that. But I am a people person, so I prefer to go out and interact and go places and see things. Working from home has its challenges, for sure. For sure, for sure.
You got to be disciplined. You really, yes. really do. And I'm kind of worried tonight. Are teams going to be disciplined? Are they going to be reaching? If you're a general manager and we're looking at the NFL draft, like right now, I want Mo Schefter to put on his GM hat because we're about to play what the bleep's going to happen tonight in the NFL draft. We got round one going down. One thing we know is we will see our man, Coach Vrabel. But we won't see yeah. him on day three. One right before we get to the draft, why did Mike Vrabel go against the like one thing you always know? See, you're a better human being than me. You practice more. I feel like you're more in tune with yourself than I am currently in my life. But like, you know, it's hard for men because they think about sex all the time, and we don't. We're not women. Like, men are always hitting on women. Women ain't always hitting on dudes, and when a woman starts showing you attention, you're like, what? Let me get in there. You know, that's all you can think about. So, like, sometimes they fall short. But the one thing I've always said, learn from your mistakes, fix them, and move on. But the one thing you never do, you always deny, deny, deny to the day you die. Because what is telling her that you did do anything for you? Nothing. And then he went and told the world, and now he made this instead of people talking about the NFL draft tonight. They're talking about Mike Vrabel and, again, Diana Russini when this story had already died and we'd moved on to the next story. I mean, you know, there's like wars going on and gas prices. Nobody else was thinking about Vrabel diddling Diana until he went and had a press conference to say that he wasn't going to be at the third day of the draft because he's going to check himself in rehab. What – is he going to go have a is rehab for dudes who cheat on their wife? Is that castration? I mean, I don't understand what he's going to do.
I'm not really sure either. We're going to talk about this. Let's talk about this. Like, brother, we have possible information that this has been happening for 6 years now. Pre-COVID, this thing has been going on. You know what I'm saying? So all of a sudden now, what, talking in therapy is going to help you realize what you did was wrong? Now, look, I'm not here to judge. You do what you want in your own private life. That I could care less. But what is the objective behind going to therapy? I think this is one of the most tomfoolery things people do. Oh, I'm going to therapy now. You should have been in therapy if that's the case.
Yeah, you know, dude, don't wait till you get caught, because the only thing you're doing is, like, serving out a sentence. You're not literally working on yourself. Like,
hey, yeah, correct. Sorry, correct.
It's just, like, I hate to say this. Like, you know, like, I love the fact that, you know, like, you have judges who try to help people, and, like, you'll have a first offense, they like DUI, or second time they offend with, like, maybe drugs or something. And they'll be like, we're going to put you in a 12-step program. Well, the whole point of a 12-step program is the first thing is you have to admit that you have an issue. When you're being forced to go by somebody else, you're not admitting you have an issue. You're doing your time. You feel like you're paying your penance. You ain't there to learn. If you want to understand Bill W. and Dr. Bob, you got to actually believe it.
And I'm gonna also say this, okay? Therapy is a real thing that offers real solutions and is good for a lot of people, okay? If you are a serial cheater, therapy is not your issue. Therapy is not where your solution lies, okay? Because I know a little bit about the psychiatric world, okay? I know this. For somebody who's, whether they're a sociopath, a psychopath, a narcissist, somebody who is a serial cheater, for example, or like a serial murderer, going to therapy only sharpens their skills. It doesn't help them hold themselves accountable. And then you can look that up. There's research on that.
Man, I also believe, we screwed up a long time ago as a country when everybody basically, instead of going with Adler, they went with Freud, because Freud obsesses over basically everything happened in your id ego or super ego. It all happened when you're a child. You live in the past. It's constant regression. It's your that's called how I can give you pills and keep you medicated for your whole life. Where like Adler focused on, well, yes, the past is real and it's something here, but you have to focus on individual psychology of basically your conscious, your social motives, your purposes, your goals, and you can't. And overcoming your inferiority complex is basically a way to tie a bow on this. It's very, very hard to, put these two guys in cliff notes. But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I'm just saying, there's Vrabel probably don't even know who Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud are. Doesn't have a dude like who Adler is. He's going to go sit there, pay some rich dude, probably go to Hawaii like Tiger Woods where he ain't getting no treatment. He's just chilling by a beach, still eating his Vicodin. Again, I just don't understand anything that Mike Vrabel did, and I think it opened up a can of worms for the New England Patriots. Instead of it being about all that they did, I mean, they played in the Super Bowl last year, and we're talking about him with Diana Russini.
Mm-hmm.
And only because he opened the door. He threw her under the bus, by the way. You notice that?
He sure did, bro. Sure did.
I bet she was like, you ain't ever getting that again, buddy.
Bro, he wild. That's what I'm saying. So Vrabel is displaying some toxic behavior. And you said you couldn't put it in cliff notes. Simply this, right? And I just came up with this. Adler suggests that we think with the big head. Freud suggests that we think with the little one.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Always psychosexual stages of your life.
Yes, bro. Yes.
Like your core, like what drives you. Anyway, I guess we just gave people probably some stuff they had no idea they were going to hear us talk about today. But that was Mike Vrabel's fault, not mine. We know the Raiders are going to go with Fernando Mendoza. How good is he going to be?
Again, Mendoza should not start in year one. I am 100% with Tom Brady on this. Do not start him in year one. Although, it's not because of a lack of readiness. So, I can sit here and give you a full scouting report, but we've got other things to talk about.
Offensive line sucks, and you have Kirk Cousins for a reason. It's kind of a bridge to your new quarterback.
Correct. And like you said, that offensive line needs a massive overhaul. They still have things they need to get better at. They still have, so do not start Mendoza in year one, and I think he will be fine. Like I said, I could give you a full scouting report, but what's the point? Like, okay, he's good at IQ, great. Ball placement, great. Arm talent, great. Leadership, great. Like, I think this kid is going to be great, or actually successful, I'll say, because of what seems like the Raiders' blueprint for his trajectory, and that's super important. Do I think he's worth the number one overall pick? 100% yes, I do. No brainer. You take Mendoza, and then the draft begins at number two with the Jets.
Ben, now that you're at the Jets at number two, I'm kind of curious. Who do you think's the best defensive player for the Jets at two?
Ooh. Okay, I'm so glad you made that question that way. I thought you were going to ask me who's the best defensive player. The best defensive player for the Jets, without a question in my mind, they got to go with David Bailey.
Yep.
Do I like Arvil Reese? Absolutely. Do I think there's a huge difference as to who's better between Arvil Reese and David Bailey? No, I do not. However, I think David Bailey fits what the Jets want. He's a defensive lineman. He can put on a little more weight. He can develop in the run game where he can be a three-down person who can contribute in the run, contribute in the pass. You want to play 3-4. You want to play 4-3. There are times we can be able to kick him in on some guards and create some one-on-one situations on the interior. Nothing against Arvell Reese. To answer your question, if I'm the New York
Jets, that's what I'm saying.
I'm taking David Bailey 100%.
I'm with you right now. Will McDonald is the only Jets player with more than 4 sacks from last season, and they need a dude who can get their ass to the quarterback. And we know my man got there a lot last year. He was nasty at Texas Tech. He was a four-man wrecking machine. And I know they always talked about Rodriguez and everything. That Bailey boy, though. Woof. Now, Arizona at 3, do they need to move down? I mean, they have so many holes. I honestly don't know where they start and what they would do with 3. Do you know what I mean? Like, I need to collect some picks. They got no offensive line. They got more running backs than Shake a Stick It. I mean, you still got James Conner and Tyler Algier. Their quarterback room is Gardner and Jacoby. Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't know if he's ever going to get that separation. Kendrick Bourne. Like, they need so much. Like, I look at them and feel like they are a mile away from where Tennessee is.
Yes. 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 Like, the person, the Cardinals and the Jets are in much worse positions for their future than anybody else picking in the top 10. Anybody else. Like, most of these guys picking in the top 10 actually have good reason for optimism. They actually have valid reasons to think we shouldn't be picking in the top 10 again anytime soon. Now, some of them will, because that's the NFL. But I 100% am with you. The Cardinals and the Jets are in the worst positions future-wise, foundation-wise. If I'm the Cardinals, you said everything right. So why? Well, I'm not going to echo you. I'm not going to argue with you. But very simple. If I can't trade down, I'm taking Francis Mwaga.
You're going to get the big left tackle and say he's the biggest, baddest left tackle in football, period. Let's go.
Brother, first of all, we know how these Samoans are. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, that's a fact. They're just built different. Their strength is ridiculous.
Their strength is ridiculous. Most of them, for their size, shouldn't move the way they move. You know what I mean? Just look at Rocky Maivia and his father and grandfather. Like, they were big people that were super athletic, and then it just kept going. And I think if you're an offensive tackle, I have always jokingly said that if you are desperate for an offensive tackle, go get you a sumo wrestler. And I think when you look at these Samoans, they move very similarly to the sumo wrestlers. And sumo wrestling is all about being able to move your feet, shoot out your hands, leverage, balance, power. To me, and a lot of you might disagree with me on this, I actually think he is the most NFL-ready prospect in this draft. Has his tape always been great? No, but that's why they call him prospect, Johnny.
I mean, has he got any Pene Sewell or Jordan Mailata, speaking of guys who are, Polynesian and Samoan?
Johnny, you know what I love about him? Is when he sets, and pause here, okay, but the scouts will understand. You could just see his butt and throughout the entirety of his reps. It stays high. It stays in place. Like, the dude, the way he anchors, I don't know. I think this kid does have a little Trent Williams, Pene Sewell, Jordan Mailata in him. Like, I think he is the next great tackle in this league.
Damn.
And if you're the Cardinals, oh my goodness, why won't you take him? There is no reason to not take this guy. If you
just made me, you made me a believer. I was thinking you need so much. I'm like, man, you might want to try to collect more picks if somebody wants to come and steal somebody up there. But yeah, getting the best left tackle. Talk about starting to help your football team. Help out anybody you got. Kyler Murray could have used an offensive lineman.
Well. Yeah, he might not be able to see over Francis.
He can't see. Yeah, I was going to say, you're right. He'd have to get out there and get on a stepladder. Lord have mercy. All right, let's say the Cardinals stay and they go with the big left tackle, which would absolutely be beautiful. You got the Titans sit there at four. Is Jeremiah Love a top five pick? Do you give him? Do you give Cam Ward a running back? Or do you look at Robert Saleh and you think about he's a defensive freak? He loves a little Fred Warner action. Maybe he goes linebacker, Avril Reese. I'd like him better than Sonny Styles. The more I look at Sonny Styles, the more I started thinking about something. He's like Isaiah Simmons.
Yes.
I don't know where I'm going to play him in the NFL.
But if somebody knows where to play him, he's going to be special.
And if like anybody does, yeah, that would be him.
Like, to me, you could throw in Jamie Collins in there, right? You could throw in Cam Chancellor in there. Like, those Cam Chancellor and Jamie Collins, had they gone different places, they may not have been Super Bowl champions and key defenders on Super Bowl winning defenses. But Pete Carroll, or not Pete Carroll, actually, Gus Bradley, who was on this same staff as the Titans, he knew where to put Cam Chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia also had Sonny Styles. They knew where to put Jamie Collins. So I think Sonny Styles is worth a top 10 pick if you know what you want to do with him. Now, this is where the GM hat for me is sort of so conflicted.
Because right now there's also that thing where I spent a number one overall pick on my quarterback. Do I want to make his life easier in year two? Like, you know what I mean?
If you really want to make his life easier, if the Cardinals panic, you then and Walker is available, then that changes everything.
Dude.
But if you're the Tennessee Titans, and I said this to Landon and I said this to him, Earl Campbell, Eddie George, CJ2K, Derrick Henry, like the Titans have been one of those teams that have always had great running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And you could bring in Jeremiah Love, and he would be the next great running back. Out of all the teams in the top 10, the only team that I would be okay with drafting Jeremiah Love is actually the Tennessee Titans. And I don't want this to be another Saquon Barkley incident. Hand knows what I'm talking about. Where I thought the Giants would be so dumb to take him at two. And it proved it. Because look, Leonard Fournette went fourth overall, won a Super Bowl with a different team that drafted him. Saquon Barkley, second overall, won a Super Bowl with a different team than the one that drafted him. Christian McCaffrey went to a Super Bowl with a different team other than the team that drafted him. So there is no sort of precedence for taking a running back top five, top eight, and it actually panning out for the franchise that drafts him. So I get that, but there's an exception all the time. There's an exception to every rule.
Who's the little Sims dude, remember, for the Redskins that went crazy in the Super Bowl and then did a lot of powder and got in trouble?
Timmy Smith.
I'm sorry. Timmy Smith. Thank you.
You with names, I swear.
Man, I'm struggling with it. But, dude, he was a Super Bowl MVP. Kenneth Walker was the Super Bowl MVP. Actually, nobody was talking about him.
Actually, he wasn't, though, John. Doug Williams was the Super Bowl MVP that year.
Timmy didn't win it with 204 yards.
Because Doug was the first brother to start, and then he put up with like a 35-point quarter.
Yeah.
Doug Smith won it.
You're right.
Yeah. But one would think with 201 yards.
204, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Something like that.
I think that's still the record, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Ain't nobody touched that. Not even close. I think Marcus Allen with like 183 is the closest behind Timmy Smith in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, again, and look at this year. You know, they had the Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson. You had, of course, Travion Henderson. Again, Kenneth Walker did good for Seattle, but they had zero fumbles. They didn't turn the ball over. And Sam Darnold and that defense was just filthy nasty. That was a great football team. That was a great team win. Great job by McDonald and everything. But, like, I look at the Tennessee Titans and I look at, Robert and think to myself, defensive mind, Fred Warner kind of guy. But do I want to do the best thing I can for my quarterback? Like, do I go left tackle if he's available? Do I go Jeremiah Love if he's available? Or, damn it, if Reese is there, do I just get nasty on that defense?
Yeah. You know what? That's a great point. I didn't even consider that. Yeah, Arvel Reese is going to be available. Now, I have Arvel Reese in my mock draft somewhere else. But I think Arvel Reese would also be. So the Titans, the Titans,
I mean, with John Franklin Myers,
spot.
Jeffrey Simmons, Jermaine Johnson, Jordan Elliott. You had this, man, that starts getting, yeah. The defense gets, the quarterbacks don't like that.
No, I'm with you. I actually, again, maybe this is just my bias because I picked the Titans to take Jeremiah Love. So that's why I don't
that's
have,
what you're
I
going with the running. I think that's a good pick, like, actually, for him. I got a lot of people asking me mad questions about the Titans and what to do, and everybody's all over the board.
So I'm curious. You want to read some of the suggestions? I'm curious what people are saying about the Titans.
I got one right here that says Jeremiah Love is the only running back that I would take in the first round. Remember what Jahmyr Gibbs did for Detroit? Jeremiah Love could do the same thing for Tennessee and take a lot of pressure off Cam Ward, who they spent a first round pick. Number one overall pick is what I think they mean.
And Ham knows this. Me and Germ are like very strongly opinionated on taking a running back in the top 10, especially.
Yeah.
But we were okay with Jahmyr Gibbs, and we'll be okay with Jeremiah Love. I would be. I don't know about Germ, but I would be okay with Jeremiah Love.
Would you think, though, like the only thing that gives me a little concern, Tennessee Titans, is their line better than the Raiders? Because Ashton Jeanty was a beast, but I don't care if you're, like you said, like Derrick Henry, if they don't block for you, nobody can run against 11 dudes.
No, that's a fact, brother. That's an absolute fact. That's an absolute fact. The Titans' offensive line had some injuries last year. The Raiders' offensive line just lacked talent last year. You know what I mean?
True.
And so I think both offensive lines, you know, they both made decent additions this year. Obviously, the Raiders signed the kid from Baltimore, which is huge. And then not to mention, like, bro, the Raiders had Chip Kelly calling plays. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
great point.
So you throw away the Raiders season, throw away the Titans season. They are both in great, great positions heading into tonight.
Everybody don't touch the dial because we're going to figure out whose name I butcher next. With Mo Schefter, we're talking NFL draft. Send your questions to the Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line. Life's too short for ordinary jewelries. 901-360-8255. Keep them coming. 901-360-8255. It's NFL draft day, and that's what we're talking with Mo Schefter right here on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Man, my homie Chris Boulding over at Hattie B's has been sending me a bunch of texts.
Shout out to my guy Chris, man. Making big moves.
I love it. And Hattie B's is fire, man. I'm not a big fan of Nashville. That Nashville hot chicken is delicious.
I don't have to add a hot, but their fried chicken tenders in general. Supreme.
Oh, they're fire.
Supreme, man, I swear.
Sandwiches, grill. Yeah. And they got grill, too. It's fire, too. But anyway, he said Cam Ward and Love could be what Lamar and Derrick Henry.
He ain't lying. He ain't lying. It's a great dino. And you know something? I brought this up to Mo on break. When he mentioned the island guys, the Samoans, then their footwork and all that. A lot of those Samoan dudes that wrestled, the big ones, they had some sumo training, as he mentioned beforehand. So it's kind of where a lot of their balance and footwork goes, and they're athletic as hell because these dudes I'm talking about, they're 300 pounds, and they're coming out the top ropes moves.
Yep.
So that generally, it fits with the island guys very well.
They
man.
Always got their shoes off, so they grounded.
This is true. Hey, Jimmy Snooker wrestled for 20 years with no shoes, no boots or whatever.
We've been talking tons of NFL draft with my man Mo Schefter. Mo money, mo problems, mo women, but he's got life under wraps, and he's done his NFL draft, and we're talking about it tonight. We've only gone through the first, what, four picks because I'm slower than Cooter Brown, and I got an opinion on everything, so I'm going to get to it. Mo, we back, baby. We've gone through just the top four, so let's get on with numero five. What you got going on with the New York Giants, man?
The New York Giants.
I feel like I know who you got him taking since.
Yes.
He's a
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Look, I think they're in. I think they're in probably the best position out of anybody. I think they have an opportunity to potentially take two top five prospects. Even
at
though
five and ten. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And at five, because here's the thing, right? I know we want to speed it up, and this would be the last elaborate one. You said earlier, can you bet on the draft? If there's a prop, can you bet on somebody doing something stupid? Bet the over. If there's a prop that somebody's going to panic and let a great player fall to John Harbaugh, bet the over. And at number five, chilling, this New York Giants will select Arvell Reese.
I knew it. I had a feeling, man. Plus, you got to, like, you know, you hook them up with that defensive front. That's going to get some nasty stuff going down in New York.
Yes.
Dak's not going to like it. Neither is Jaden Daniels. Cleveland Browns, they screw up everything. Talk about a team that's messed up more first-round picks than anybody. What are they going to do with their number six pick?
Okay, this is not what I would do, okay? But this is things that I've heard coming from that region, because I'm still somewhat tapped in around the Lake Erie region. I am hearing that they are going to select Carnell Tate at number six. Do I agree with this pick? I do not. Do I think they could go better? 100%. If it was me, and since I'm the one putting my GM hat, I'm not taking Carnell Tate. Do you want me to give you who I think they'll take or who I'll take now?
Now I want to know who you think they're going to take Carnell Tate at wide receiver, because Jerry Jeudy ain't got it, and Tillman is old, and Isaiah Bond ain't going to get there. You don't have a quarterback either, because you got Watson and Shador, and you don't know what you're going to have with Shador, because you've already kind of the whole Dylan Gabriel Shador Sanders was so botched last year, wasn't funny. And then speaking of botching, giving Deshaun Watson all that money was insanity. I love their running backs with Judson and Samson. I can't believe they're going to take a wide receiver. I mean, I can believe it, but I just don't. I mean, you ain't got nobody really to throw the rock to him. I almost get a big-ass offensive tackle, maybe, or offensive guard.
Yeah. So I think they're going to take Carnell Tate. If I'm the GM of the Browns sitting there at number six, some people might say, oh, you're reaching. Some people might say, oh, you should have traded down. This is real life, kind of the way things work. If I'm the Cleveland Browns at six and I'm looking at what I'm looking, I'm closing my eyes with no regret and I'm taking Spencer Fano out of Utah. 6'6", 311, an absolute force. Maybe not as good of a prospect as Francis Maiwaga, but that's going to happen because Francis Maiwaga is just an absolute beast. So if I'm the Browns, I'm taking Spencer Fano. Why? Because I have an entirely different offensive line. The Browns are going to have five new offensive line starters in 2026. That seldom happens. He's got strong hands, good balance. I think he's very athletic, good with the balance.
Do you think he's safer than the kid out of Georgia, the big one, the 6'7", 320-pound, with the dude with, like, who they're all excited because it's 35-inch arms?
Oh, Monroe Freeland?
Thank you.
Monroe Freeland, to me, has the highest ceiling of anybody, of any tackle. But I would go with Spencer Fano because he's a little more polished. He's a little more polished. And something that I look at when I'm in the lab watching the NFL, everybody gets beat, right, Johnny? Mm-hmm. Every offensive tackle, no matter how great you have been, gets beat one way or another, whether it's Anthony Munoz or whether it's Trent Williams. You're going to get beat. Joe Thomas has been beat. They all get beat. The one thing that separates good offensive linemen from the great ones is not all these traits that they possess. It's one thing. It's one thing and one thing only. Their ability to recover. That's their own version of counterpunching. And this kid, Spencer Faino, I think he's the best recoverer out of all the tackles in this draft.
Damn, I like it. It'd actually be the smart things the Brown do, but I can 100% see them going straight back to Ohio State like they did with Quinshon and grabbing them a wide receiver this year and going with Tate. Washington Commanders, man. It's like people forgot, dude. You know that dude, Jaden Daniels, remember that rookie year? That was some nasty stuff. Well, they got a now top seven pick. With number seven, do they help out their offense or that much maligned defense?
So here we go. I said this yesterday that I think the Commanders are in the Saints, and the Saints are in some of the better spots at 7 and 8, because let some of these other guys go through the muck. Let somebody trade all the way up from 14 to 13, like Jerry Jones might do. You know, you sit at 7, you be patient, and you can take anybody you want who could have gone between 1 and 3, or 2 and 4, rather, because we know who 1 is. If I'm the Washington Commanders, we talked about Gus Bradley and his ability to utilize people in the right places. We talked about Matt Patricia and how he utilized Sonny Styles and how he utilized Jamie Collins. One person we don't talk about who understands positional versatility as much as anybody else in the NFL is Dan Quinn of the Washington Commanders. And I think he's going to go with Sonny Styles at number 7.
Safest pick in the draft.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Commanders' biggest issue on defense last year was they got old and they got slow. You infuse them with youth and speed anchored by Sonny Styles.
Interesting thing is, though, about Washington is where do you put him? Because, like, Amani Hooker is a good, strong safety. He's getting older, but, like, I the little kid that plays safety right now for him, who did they get? Tony Adams, sorry.
Tony Adams, yes, sir.
Like, dude, he's definitely, like, somebody who's, like, mid-grade at best. Like, do you put him at free safety?
No.
You want him at strong?
You put him in a box.
Ooh.
You put him in a box, you know? You put him in a box. Like, there is a litany of undersized linebackers in the NFL.
Yes, there are.
And a bunch of them cannot tackle.
Not like Caleb Downs.
You know, so no, I said Sonny Styles, not Caleb Downs.
Oh, I thought you said Caleb Downs, man. I'm hearing.
No, my bad, brother.
That was actually probably 100% me. I'm the one who always daydreams.
Damn. I did say Sonny Styles, right? Now, you know.
Jay Ham, you definitely said Sonny. You definitely said Sonny Styles. I think I'm just, you know, I got another Ohio State guy, and the guy that I like is Caleb Downs. I think he's just so damn safe, and he's such a sure tackler, and he's just a pro. He's a ready-made pro. So
yeah,
I think I was just stuck on that Sonny Styles would go before him, because, again, I still got that Isaiah. And you said it, Dan Quinn will know where to put him, and that's what you have to do with Sonny Styles. Know what to do to design up your defense to make it where he can be an effective football player.
Totally agree.
All right.
Totally agree.
Who are we going after Washington?
We got the Saints at number 8.
And this is like, I don't know, I have a clue.
Okay. So, again, what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, what I'm seeing is this is another potential. There's two things that I'm hearing about the Saints at 8. I'm hearing they're either going to take Carnell Tate to pair him with Chris Olave, Ohio State guys. Or, by the way, for those listening, this is an NFL draft, not an Ohio State draft, although it might seem that way. I'm hearing that. That's the first thing I'm hearing. The second thing I'm hearing is that they're going to trade away, and that there's going to be the slot they're hearing the most talk about is the Saints at 8 trading up. Let's say they stay there. I wouldn't take Carnell Tate. Let me be perfectly clear. If I'm the New Orleans Saints at 8, this is why I said earlier a few weeks ago, Johnny, I'm really curious to see what happens with these wide receivers when they start falling. Because this is what I would do. we have yet to take a wide receiver, correct?
Correct.
Every mock draft I've seen, there's two receivers going in the top 10. And I'm like,
yeah, with Tyson and Tate.
Like, what is this? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? So if I'm the New Orleans Saints and I'm picking at 8 and I look up and I see Mr. Reuben Bain is still on the board.
Yeah.
What am I even thinking about?
Great point.
The Saints take Reuben Bain at 8.
Ooh, I love that. Again, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you say he's got short arms. So did Aaron Donald. Reuben Bain beats people, and he beats them to pieces, to be honest with you. Kansas City Chiefs all the way up at number 9.
So this is where the fun that I thought the Giants were going to have in this draft can be spoiled, okay? If the Chiefs stay where they're at, I would do this. Let's say they don't stay where they're at, then the Giants can get this next player. And that player is, before I reveal, see, this is called a cliffhanger. When the Chiefs won their Super Bowls, the most important defensive player they had on their field, on their team, was Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm.
The second most important player was the one and only Honey Badger.
Sure was.
So who am I drafting here, Johnny?
I guess you're going to go with this Mr. Downs.
I am drafting Caleb Downs at number 9 for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I like that. I think that's, I mean, he's a tone-setting physical safety, and he will butcher you. He's just a pro. Mm-hmm. I like that, and he fits in Kansas City with what they're trying to do. At number 10, before we go to break, the Giants' second first-round pick, what are they grabbing?
So now the Giants are upset that Caleb Downs is no longer there. And now if you're the Giants, you tell yourself, okay, do we want to still go with the BPA, or do you want to go with a need? And here is where I think the Giants should pick the corner from LSU, Delane.
Yep.
That's what I do think they should pick. However, I think they're going to panic a little bit, or I think they're going to go with somebody.
They want to go interior line.
Not panic. I think they're going to want to go with someone to help Jackson Dart, and I think this is where the first wide receiver comes off the draft.
Tyson?
I actually think they're good. I know this is crazy. I think they're going to go with Mekhi Lemon.
Because I don't hate
Harbaugh
it.
Has an habit of not taking the wide receiver you think he's going to take.
The other thing about it is like that is the one place that I said I do not want Jordan Tyson to go is New York. It is a turf monster. It is a knee destroyer. And with all the issues he's had, he don't need to play half his games in New York.
Yeah, you know what? So let me change my pick. Let me change my pick. They draft Mansoor Delane out of LSU. That's where I'm going.
Whoa. They're going to go.
Yeah.
Wait. They're going to go with the cornerback.
Am I tripping? Am I thinking of the wrong Giants depth chart, or did they not just lose some of their corners here?
I can check for you with a quickness because I got a guy named Jay Ham, the historian, who's usually quick on the draw. They call him quick
Adobo
draw.
Adobo and Newsom. Oh, I guess not. They have Slayton, Neighbors, Mooney. Let me think here for a second. If I'm the Giants, where I want to go? Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sticking to my original pick. Okay, I'm going Mekhi Lemon. I think they're going to give Jackson Dart a big possession receiver. Even though he's undersized, I know that, but he is considered a possession receiver. Mm-hmm. So let me change my mind. I'm going to go Mekhi Lemon at 10.
We have given you the top 10 picks in the NFL draft. We're going to come back, and we're going to give you the rest with a quickness, and we're starting with the fish. It's the Dolphins at 11 next with Mo Schefter on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
4.9-liter V8, 0 to 60, and I'm about to find out.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. It's the NFL Draft with my man Mo Schefter. We've been rocking, we've been firing, we've been talking all things football. But I also did need to remind you, we're about to start back with number 11, and that's the Miami Dolphins. Remember how clean that team used to be back in the day, man? You had Don Shula with his hair. You had Dan Marino doing them Isotoner damn commercials, you know, get them gloves on and everything. They look clean. But the cleanest team in town is Hi-Lo. Go to MrCleanTeam.com. You're like, Hi-Lo, that's H-I-L-O. Hi-Lo, they're a commercial services industry, and that means they do commercial janitorial, industrial cleaning, post-construction cleaning, setup and moving. And if somebody says they ain't going to clean it, I promise you, they ain't going to say no. They always get back you with a fast response within 24 hours. Go to MrCleanTeam.com. That's MrCleanTeam.com for a Hi-Lo. And again, they do late night cleaning, early morning cleaning, weekly cleaning, bi-weekly cleaning, daily cleaning. Like I said, like whatever you, any of your needs, people, they have you covered. They are the best. They do big businesses, Hershey, Tyson's. They do Memphis School of Excellence. That's why it's always so clean. Cleanest team in town, Hi-Lo, and they have the JRD guarantee. Find any debris, and they're going to come back and clean and do it and do it and do it till you're satisfied, whatever it is. This is the time of the year with the NFL is right now selling hopes, and they're selling dreams. The NBA is settling arguments, debates, and basically telling you the truth. And pretty much who everybody is. So we're finding out facts in the NBA, and we're selling dreams in the NFL. And right now, who are the Dolphins dreaming of, Mr. Mo Schefter?
Well, the Dolphins clearly dream of big receivers. That's why they got rid of all their receivers that are under 6'1". Mm-hmm. Therefore, they will be drafting, I know you're not going to like this, Jordan Tyson, 6'2", 203. Dolphins gold receiver.
Hey, I like him playing in the warm weather. I like him playing on that field. I think it's better for him. I just don't know, like, Malik. I hope he helps out Malik Willis. I mean, I still can't believe the whole – we got three quarterback rooms that I look at and just say, damn, I don't even know what the hell they playing in. But Malik Willis and Quinn Ewers are going to be fighting there in Miami, and it's pretty much Malik's team now. And he's got nobody to throw it to, so – Jordan Tyson, to me, makes tons of sense.
Thank you, sir.
Actually, it does. Because, I don't even know what else the Dolphins do. It's just, like, they're just trash.
They need so much, bro. It, like, you know, but they got rid of all their offensive skill players on the receiver side. They clearly, and then you got to think of who's the general manager, the Packers guy. So all the Packers have always drafted bigger receivers, Driver, Jennings, Devontae, Christian Watson. They're going to want a big body receiver.
I do have a Dolphins person who just texted in. He says, damn it, man, I want them to go defense so bad. Like if there's a Reuben Bain, a Caleb Downs, of course, the LSU cornerback, Delane, if he's available, he's saying, please grab their ass.
Yeah, again, shout out to all the listeners and texters, like, this is what I think they should do.
This is what you think they're going to do.
And that's why I valued all the defensive players. And then I think Carnell Tate's going to go to the Browns. I think the Rams are going to go Monroe Freeland. I think the Ravens are going to go with the interior offensive lineman from Penn State. And then after that is when the draft really is going to become
crazy.
Who's the smart people here?
Is any idiot going to take Ty Simpson with 15 college starts in the first round?
Yes, 100%. Ty Simpson will go somewhere between 20 and 31.
There's just some crazy folks out there. They reach for some quarterbacks, don't they? Mo, tell everybody where they can find you tonight. It's a big, big, big special.
94 Feet of Light, YouTube. And then after that, we are going to be doing another show on the Views from on the Scene YouTube. So just follow me, Mo Schefter, Mo underscore Views 22. Or follow Jay Ham, follow Sports 56 FM. You will know where to find us tonight. We have about 3 to 4 hours of live coverage coming.
Be blessed, Mo. That's my time, y'all. Do me a favor. Get out there. Make this world a better place. We're going to see y'all on the flip side. Peace. Have a
good day. Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio.
We are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.